So much of a blessing to be able to be here with people of God on this morning. We're humbled to be given a word, to be declared to his people. I wait for you at Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 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 Forever suggests that we all have a final destination, an eternal destination. We are all going to be somewhere forever. The Lord has his way, and some of us live for 70, 80, 90, 100, 110 years on earth. But this is nothing compared to the enduring experience of eternity. A million years is 1,000,000. Stay with me. A trillion years is 1,000,000,000,000 years. A quadrillion years is 1,000,000,000,000,000 years. A quintillion years is 1,000,000,000,000,000 years. And beloved, on we could go. The point is that even after a quintillion years has gone by, eternity would have only just begun. And God, our God, he wants our final destination to be the heaven he is preparing right now for us. When we have journeyed on earth through the valley experiences of our lives, I want to be like David, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And beloved, one of the reasons we're preaching this word today is because I don't just want it for me, I want it for you too. I want for you and I want for us together to be like David, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. You want that too, right? Bless the Lord. Well, we're talking to some people. Life is a journey that's preparing us for our final destination. In Psalm 23, David does not know how many days ahead he has left in his life on earth. But he definitely closes on a high note. And what his life will be like after it ends. He's looking at both now and forever. He shares with us what is true of us or can be true of us when the Lord is our shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. I shall not want for anything. Beloved, we ought not worry or fear what might come our way in the days ahead. Think about it. What does life without the shepherd? What would life without the shepherd, without the Lord as our shepherd, look like? Do you think we'd have peace? Do you think that we could say like David, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil? You ever thought about the other side of the coin of the life you and I are graced and privileged to live, even today? As long as we have Jesus, we have everything that you and I need in this life. Everything. Everything, beloved. Everything. I shall not lack rest or provision. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack peace. Why? Because he leads me beside the still waters. I shall not lack restoration or encouragement when I fall or when I fail, when I lose my way. Why? Because he restores my soul. I shall not lack guidance and fellowship. Why? Because he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not lack courage when my way gets dark. Why? Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not lack companionship because the Lord is with me. I shall not lack comfort because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I shall not lack abundance because he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The text says he anoints my head with oil. That's power. And my cup runneth over. I shall not lack presence because surely his goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. I shall not lack security because I will dwell when your life and my life is over. God has prepared a home for us. And you and I are going to live there forever. David is amazed. He's not amazed, he's awed. He's in awe at the person of God. He's alert to the presence of God. And he is amazed, or he's even assured, if you will, by the provision of God. Amen. Amen. So let's walk through verse 6 together. I want you notice with me, please, the concept of certainty. The concept of certainty, assurance, if you will. There are two words that help us appreciate, understand the experience David had with the life that he lived. He looks at his past. Then he looks into the future. And he is filled with confidence, with conviction, because he has a promise that gives him certainty. Do you see it? He's looking, watch this now, think with me. He's looking at the experiences that are behind him. He uses the word surely, which means very simply, without doubt. Some would say, no doubt. David is saying, based on his past experiences, he has confidence in the future because he had tried and proved God's promises in the past. Are y'all following me? I read a story of a godly woman several years ago who was lying on her deathbed. Her family and her friends and her neighbors knew that she had loved the Lord with all of her heart. On this particular day, her daughter is sitting beside her. It was evening time. She saw her mother's Bible on the nightstand and began to look through it carefully. She noticed that there were T's and P's in the columns in the margin of her mother's Bible. So she asked curiously, "Mother, what do these T's and P's stand for?" Her mother replied, "These letters, the T's and P's, stand for tried and proved." You see, her mother had found the promises of God to be true and faithful. And these verses, which contain the promises of God, had been tried and proven in her life. When you begin church, when you begin to apply the promises of God in the circumstances of your life, in the future, what happens is you have different types of experiences, but you can claim the promises of God with greater confidence because you have experienced, you've tried them, and you have proven them in the past. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he... Have you proven that in your life? That's a promise, you know. They that wait on the Lord, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You ever go into God's waiting room? Weak, broken, hurt, abused, mistreated, and when God gets finished with you, you're able to stand on solid ground. You're able to wax stronger in faith. You could say, no doubt God has kept his promise. No doubt God has done. He did exactly what he said he would do. God is a promise keeper. And every child of God, every disciple, every follower of Jesus that has ever claimed the promises of God can go through their Bible and mark it up with T's and P's. Tried, tested, and proven. He's not only looking back at his previous its past experiences, but he's also looking at the possibilities before him in the future. Get this, beloved. If God has taken care of you in the past, then you can look into the future and rest. And trust in the fact that God will take care of you again. That's a good place for an amen. Because you see, God never changes. I said God never changes. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he will be the same tomorrow. God changes not. What he has done for you in the past, he is able. God is able. He will do it again for you in the days ahead. So many people, some of us, we're living with uncertainties. Manifold uncertainties. And as human beings, we plan our lives, we plan our schedules as best we can. However, as much as we plan, nobody knows what will happen next. I'm talking about the next moment, not just tomorrow. No one knows whether things will turn out as we plan. And sometimes we get stressed out, if you will, about fear of the unknown. Let me remind you, you and I, in the midst of uncertainty, there ought to be one thing that we're certain about. The Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, that means I am his sheep, and so I lack nothing. God is perfectly reliable. He's permanently responsible. He is powerfully responsive. And he's personally related. I'm not just a sheep. I'm his sheep. And he is my shepherd. Let's move to the concept of proximity or nearness. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Let's hold it right there. Have you ever thought, beloved, about the fact that just one day, just in one moment, in one day, could change your life, your whole life. In just a moment, in just one day, our lives can change completely. Are you feeling me yet? A telephone call about losing a loved one. A bad report from the doctor. Your best friend turned their back on you. You arrive at your job early one day just to find out you're being canned. Your spouse walks out on you. You get a promotion. You could get a promotion that you wanted for so long. And you get it, and it changes your financial situation for the rest of your life. All the days that we live are going to be different days. Stay with me. There could be difficult days. There could be despondent days. There could be dangerous, distressing days. But there could also be delightful days. And the only way to avoid different types of days is to die. Those days are coming. They're going to come whether we like it or not. But behind everything that is going or coming into your life and mine, there is the purpose of God at work, impacting, affecting us. See, God has a reason. Amen. There are no accidents with God, only divine assignments. David is speaking of a variety of days, different kinds of days, but you and I know that God is near. He shifts from the quality of our days to the vitality, if you will. He suggests that goodness and mercy will follow. Goodness is for my needs. And that comes from the hand of God. Mercy is when I fall short, when I miss the mark. This comes from the heart of God. Whatever you need, whatever your need is, whatever the day, the goodness of God will be right there. The goodness of God will be right there. When you need it. Amen. And his mercy will be there too. Goodness. It's for the good times in our lives. Let me pause right here. The truth is, beloved, everything that happens in our lives will not be good. Amen. Sometimes you lose your job. Sometimes your car won't start. Sometimes the refrigerator will give out. Sometimes you'll get cancer. Sometimes you might contract COVID-19. People, sometimes someone close to you, someone you love, a loved one will die. Goodness of God does not mean that God will that everything that happens to you will be good. But what it does mean is that God will use it. God will use everything that happens in our lives for our good. And it will cause you and I, listen to me, beloved, to cause you and I to grow in faith, to grow into the masterpiece that God created and intends for you and I to be. Mercy is the result of grace. It speaks of the grievous times in our lives. Times of correction, times of forgiveness, times when we need compassion, times when we just need somebody to understand what we go, times when we just need somebody to listen. Mercy is being filled with pity. It's loving kindness. It's loyal love. It's a willingness to help somebody else along the way. When you are a sheep in the fold of the shepherd, he makes a commitment to you. You belong to him, and his promises will surely come to pass. I was reminded in some TV viewing recently, the President of the United States has secret servicemen guarding him at all times. The sheep has the Secret Service guiding us too. They're called sheepdogs. And the purpose of the sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, is to take care of the sheep, to guard the sheep. Let me make it a little plainer, because I don't want you to miss this. Sheepdogs keep the sheep in line. Sheepdogs are always nipping at the heels of any sheep that stray to bring them back to the fold. You see that word follow? It means to pursue, to chase. To hound, Lord have mercy. God's sheepdogs, grace, our goodness, and mercy, are to shadow, to guard, to hound you and I in all our ways and for all our earthly days. David says that God's sheepdogs will follow him. See, everybody doesn't have God's sheepdogs following them. David makes it personal because of his experiences with God as his shepherd in the past. Some of the worst dangers for the sheep come up from the rear. The wolves come up from the rear. And I'm wondering, beloved, could it be that some of our greatest dangers in our lives will come up from behind us? You know, past sins, past failures. You don't have to say amen right here. Past hurts, and not just hurts that you inflicted with, but hurts that you inflict on others. Hang-ups, defeats, bad habits. Goodness and mercy guards us from those things that will come up upon us from behind us. And not to mention, again, sheep have a tendency to wander off, to stray. Sheep are defenseless and directionless on their own. Can we talk just for a minute? Nod your head. It's easy to say grace and mercy will follow me when everything is going good. That's easy. But what about when things aren't going so good? What about when all hell breaks loose? Huh? What about when your health fails you? What about when nothing is going your way? What about when you're feeling alone? What about when you slip? Not intentionally, but you wind up feeling ashamed. What about when you feel so far away from God? There's no hope in sight. You can't see because it's so dark in the tunnel, in the valley. What about when you've fallen into deep sin? What about when you lose your job, you lose your best friend, you lose your boyfriend or your girlfriend? God knows all of your ways. And he sees them all. And he is near all the time. He's always been there. He'll always be there. His sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, will never leave us alone, ever. No matter what happens in the days ahead, the Good Shepherd is in front of us. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. He's with us and he is for us. And then goodness and mercy is following us. It's pursuing us. What do you and I have to fear, beloved? Why do we worry when all we need to do is pray? The Lord, our shepherd, he is near, which means we are never alone and we're not on our own. Do you see now the nearness, the proximity? It's consistent and it's persistent because it's always pursuing us. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, that his greatest goodness and mercy follows us, not just some of the days, but all the days of our lives. Amen, the glory. That's a shout right there. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. He never turns off his sheepdogs from coming after us. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. God ain't just good today and tomorrow he bad. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. His loving and gracious today and loving and gracious tomorrow. All the days of our lives until you and I draw our last breath. God's great goodness and mercy will hunt us. So I say, when the Lord is your shepherd, you are in good hands on earth. Why? Because you've got certainty. And you've got proximity. Proximity that is consistent and persistent. It's there all the time, and it follows it. It pursues us. It chases. They chase after us. And here's what I want to suggest to you as we get ready to close. Certainty plus proximity equals intimacy with divinity. Certainty, assurance, plus consistent and persistent proximity, nearness, is what produces intimacy with divinity. All right. I gotta close. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now watch how the, let's go back how the psalm opens. He says, he opens with, the Lord is my shepherd. And he closes with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, so watch the sentence. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You feel that? He begins with, the Lord is my shepherd, and he ends with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you and I live, the Lord is my shepherd life, we have intimacy with divinity that leads to intimacy with divinity for infinity. Are you following me? When we live, the Lord is my shepherd life, we have intimacy, we have closeness, we have nearness to God that leads us to, or that ends with, intimacy with divinity for infinity. Okay. When the Lord is my shepherd, the best is yet to be. That's my word. That's my word. That's my word right there. Beloved, you and I haven't seen nothing yet. When Jesus says in John 10 and 10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Notice the verb, that they might have life. Have is present tense. Amen. And I gotta tell you, beloved, this passage convinces and convicts me that intimacy with divinity is not just for now. We don't just have it now. We have it now. And when we die, it becomes forever. Hello? God, let's read a passage. Turn to Exodus 29.
And I will dwell among the children of Israel.
And I will dwell among the children of Israel. That's it.
And will be their God.
And will be their God.
And they shall know.
And they shall know.
That I am the Lord their
God. I am the Lord their God. Read.
That brought them forth out of the land of Egypt.
God brought them out of the land of Egypt.
That I may dwell among them.
Why does God bring his people out of Egypt? God wants them to dwell with him. He wants to dwell with them. God is a God of relationship. We must never, ever lose sight of this truth. The Lord, our shepherd, wants to be involved. He wants to be active in our lives. He wants to move in our lives. He wants to dwell with us. Let's talk for a minute. What a waste when you and I ignore God. Treat him like he's not first. Give him what's left. Give the top of our energy, the top of our thoughts, the top of our time, the top of our, give that to somebody else or something else that does not have the right, does not have the right to it. What a waste when you and I ignore God. We miss so much, church. We miss so much. We miss the comfort of a compassionate friend. We miss the presence of his person. We miss the leadership and the guidance of a divine, encouraging and empowering leader. We miss the spiritual strength and stamina to make it through the days of our lives on our way to the house of the Lord forever. We miss out on someone to dry our tears. We miss out on someone to keep us in line and hold us accountable. We miss out on so much that we need, church, in this life. No wonder the Lord taught us how to pray. Give me this day my daily bread. I want to dwell with God. Do you want to dwell with God? Well, then say it. Yeah. I want to dwell with God. I want to dwell with my God.
Yes, Lord.
I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want all of us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus. This life is not all there is. Oh, yeah. Dark and difficult days. Oh, yes. Trials and troubles. Oh, yes. Hurts and heartaches. Oh, yes. Suffering and sorrow. Oh, yes. Pain and problems. Oh, yes. Bad habits and hang-ups. But no matter what the days ahead may hold for you and for me, there is a far, far better day, and it's coming. Nike would say, it's okay. Help is on the way. For those who live, the Lord is my shepherd life. I'm just saying to you, beloved, the best is yet to be. I'm closing now. I was looking for an illustration that would help you, that would help us to keep Psalm 23 always in the front of our minds. I remember one of those Superman movies. I know everybody doesn't watch TV, but I just happen to, right? Superman was saving a man from a burning building. And he rescues him from the top floor. And he's carrying the man safely by flying through the skies. The man looks at Superman and then he looks down to the ground and said, hey, Superman, I'm scared. Do you see how far down the ground is from where we are right now? Superman looks at him and says, what makes you think I'm going to drop you when I'm carrying you to safety? What makes you think I'm going to drop you when I'm carrying you to safety? If God has delivered you and I from a burning hell, what makes you think that he will drop you before he safely puts you down in your eternal home? What is coming is far better than what is gone. Are you listening? The best is yet to be. The Lord is my shepherd. Life is a life of intimacy with divinity. And when he lands, when he puts us safely in our eternal, when he puts us down safely in our eternal home, intimacy with divinity will be for infinity. It will last a quadrillion, zillion, megazillion, billion, boom, 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 boom. The best is yet to be. I share another story with you and we close. Two monks were walking through the countryside on their way to a village, the next village, one day. And they came to the edge of a river and noticed that an old woman was sitting at the edge of the river, and she was upset because there was no bridge. She could not get across. The first monk offered to carry her across. And of course, the woman was relieved. So they got together, joined hands, and had the woman sit between them. And they carried her over to the other side, set her down, and she went on her way. After they had walked another mile or so, the second monk began to complain. Look at my clothes, he said. They're filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back still hurts from lifting her. I can feel my back getting stiffer right now. The first monk did not respond. Several minutes later, here comes the second monk again. My back is really hurting me badly. And it's all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I just can't go any further because of the pain I'm feeling right now in my back. And then he looked over to the first monk and said, why is it that you're not complaining about it? How come you're not complaining too? Doesn't your back hurt? To which the first monk replied, of course not. He said, you're still carrying the woman. But I set her down 5 miles ago. Now, I tell this story in contrast to the one I told just now, so that you can visualize in your heart's mind, in your hearts, on the inside of you. Is it not possible for you and I to be like the second monk who cannot let go of the pain of our past? We're trapped. We are arrested by the trials we experience, the valley experiences of our life. We cannot let it go. Beloved, if we cannot let it go, we cannot let God. We gotta let it go. 2020 is gone. It ain't coming back. And your best and my best is still yet to be. So your assignment. Each day, at the close of every day, write down, if you will, three things. Three good things. Three things, three merciful things. For example, that followed you. Perhaps an unexpected blessing. Praise Jesus. This week, someone took it upon themselves to make some soup for us. Boy, that soup. Ooh, low. All right. An unexpected blessing. Or perhaps you experienced a victory in an area where you experienced defeat in the past. Amen. Amen. Or maybe you fell down, but God helped you to get back up on your feet before it was too late. Three things, beloved. Three things that as you look back, you can see God's sheepdogs chasing after you. If you're here today and you're trapped in your past, if you're here today, beloved, and I know you know enough about the Lord is my shepherd life, to live it. I know that. It's the days when we don't. And your setback has not prompted your come back yet. This invitation is for you. I'm not, look, you, I believe and know of assuredly that the word of God is not going to return void. But perhaps you hear and you are compelled to make a verbal response to, not to me, to the word of God as it was declared into your hearing. Give God the response that his spirit is moving in your heart to give him.